Well, welcome everyone to this special meeting of the Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee for Wednesday, April 6th, 2016. It's now 5:35 Pacific Daylight Time, and my name is Myla Reese, and I'm serving as Chair Pro Tem of the committee. Pacifica Foundation's Chief Financial Officer, Sam Agarwal, has agreed to join this conference call in 5 minutes to provide this committee with a report and to answer questions. So Hare Wagon, excuse me, Secretary will be calling the roll to establish quorum. Please call the roll. William.
Thank you. William Hare Wagon. Sasha Poutron.
Here.
Thank you. Janet Coburn.
Present.
Thank you. Margie Wilkinson. I don't hear anything. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Thank you. Jonathan Alexander.
Here.
Thank you. Dorothy Wright.
Here.
Thank you. Myla Reeson.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Thank you. Venetia Patel Adams. I don't hear anything. Nancy Sibara Naratomi. I don't hear anything. Deborah Shafto. I don't hear anything. William Hairwag, and I'm here, present. Frank Lefevre.
Presente.
Thank you. Ron Pinchback. I don't hear anything. Nancy Sorden. I don't hear anything. So people I didn't hear, tell me if I missed you somehow. Margie Wilkinson, Venetia Patel Adams, Deborah Shafto, Ron Pinchback, Nancy Sorden. So we have quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Quorum with 9 out of 15.
Thank you.
What about Nancy Sibara Naratomi?
She's not here.
I called her once. Maybe I forgot to repeat it. She's among the missing.
Okay. We didn't hear her. So we have a proposed agenda. Does anyone? And we're expecting the chief financial officer to join the call in 2 minutes. And I would entertain a motion. Are there any objections to the agenda as sent out?
I have a point of information.
Who's this?
Janet, sorry.
No.
So what's the adjourn time for, open session?
It really depends on the choice of the body. I mean, if we exhaust
or what's the adjourn time for the whole thing?
Yeah, I finished, please. If we exhaust our questions with the chief financial officer, questions of a public nature, then we will adjourn and go to a closed session. As is standard, I believe.
Right, but what time would that end? I'm just wondering, what would be the...
I thought that I was hearing from the group earlier that normally...
Nancy, KPFT.
Thank you, Nancy. I generally believe that there's a two... Usually you have a two-hour standard time for adjournment. So that would be at 9:30 Eastern Time. Okay, so can I...
Hi, that would be at 10:30 Eastern Time.
Thank you. So I'm going to call Sam Agarwal and get him on the line. Be right back.
Did we approve the agenda?
Oh, yes, of course. Are there? Well, I didn't hear any objections to the agenda. Are there objections? Hearing none.
Point of information. Sorry, Janet, again. So there's two items. Of minutes, so can we just remove those two items, I assume.
Yes,
you don't have minutes.
William advised the committee that he would not, he has not yet prepared those minutes, so that's moot. And now I'm going to get off the call for a moment and call our chief financial officer and have him join the call.
Are we still together? Did I get cut off?
I'm together.
Okay, good. Thank you. Audit waiting for Sam.
Point of information, I'm a little confused by the announcements I got from KPTFX or whatever it is. Do we maintain the same call-in codes that we started with, or do we switch to different codes for the closed session?
Yes. Day before yesterday, we did the same code. We just stayed on the line. We didn't even get off. I assume it's the same.
That'd be the easiest. I mean, the email announcement stated something different. That's why I asked.
Oh, I didn't see my email. Thank you.
But doing it the same as we did Monday seems fine to me.
That would be for Myla to address. She's. But the
yes.
Streaming would have to end during the closed session.
Janet, yeah. It's Fred here. I'm doing the streaming, and it's up to the committee how they want to do it. If I kill the live stream, I also kill my recording, and then I can get off. I can hang up from the call, and you can have privacy.
Hi, this is Myla. I'm back on the call, and I believe Sam is with us as well, or will be soon.
Also, Nancy Sorden joined the call.
Welcome, Nancy.
So, Myla, while you were away, we were talking about, this is Janet, about assuming we go to closed session, would it be a different number or the same? And
hello, Sam.
Sam, welcome. I was just asked a question about whether we're going to use a separate number when we go into closed session, as we most likely will. And I did some investigation, and basically it's up to us, and I think it's just easier to just stay on the call rather than calling in again. So we can do it either way, and I think we should just do it the easiest way possible.
This is Janet.
So,
just may I?
Janet.
Fred. While you are gone from the call, Fred said something about that the streaming would continue.
No, I said I said I would cut the streaming.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Point of order. Never mind. I'm done.
Okay. Who has the point of order?
I think we're supposed to use the number for the exec session, the code for the exec session.
We have a choice.
For the exec session.
Right. It's my understanding that we can do it either way. So I think we're just going to go ahead and cut the stream and stay on the call. So without further ado.
As long as nobody else has that code for the public session.
At any rate, without further ado, I am going to welcome Sam Agarwal, Pacifica's new, not so new now, Chief Financial Officer, to provide a report to the audit committee. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Sam.
Should I go ahead and provide a status update?
Please.
Okay. So, again, thank you very much for this opportunity. I was looking forward to talking to the committee members. So, right now, the status for fiscal year 14 audit is that we have completed all the groundwork. There was an extraordinary amount of information that was asked by the auditors, and we have been able to provide them, say, mostly to their satisfaction. There are some big ticket items that are still remaining, and I can list them briefly, and we can get into a little bit more detailed discussion later on. One is the Democracy Now, the accrued payments from the past years, and say what or how do we treat these payments going forward. The second is the Empire State Building tower rent for the BAI station, and that also has not been decided so far. And the third and most critical aspect is the going concern issue. And perhaps, it may be more appropriate to discuss the going concern, all of these issues in the closed session. So on the whole, we are just about nearing completion for the fiscal year 14 audit. And as soon as we wrap up these big ticket items, I think, the audit will be closed. So that's my brief update. And yeah.
Point of personal privilege. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to understand the third item that you mentioned.
Third item was a going concern issue. The auditors have raised a concern, which is kind of a standard term, a going concern, that we may not be able to meet our cash flow in the next 12 months. And they have requested, an assessment of the cash flow from the management.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to take a stack now for questions from the committee. Who would like to ask questions and be on the stack? Is there anyone? Hello?
Wait, I have questions, but they're for Ms. Nancy. I have questions, but they're probably better for closed session.
Does anyone have open session questions for Sam Agarwal?
No, Frank Lefevre.
Okay, Frank, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Yeah, we've gotten some communications from the Finance Committee of BAI, which is supposed to meet tomorrow, and the chair of the committee, or the treasurer, has not been able to reach the general manager for, I don't know, several weeks, and so we're a little short on information for that meeting. One piece of information that we've discussed, that is something that we'd like to have, and again, if this is something for closed session, tell me, but I think it's been publicly discussed. There seem to be quite a few, I don't know, five or six, seven different bank accounts with BAI's name. At least one for the BAI buddy account and several others in addition. And I'm just wondering if you have some clarity on that, if you know what the names of these accounts are or who controls them or what's going into them and what's coming out.
Yeah, so you're right, Frank. That's a good point. We have a few, four or five accounts, but none of them, most of them are not operative. Like, they are not very actively operated. Some are connected with PayPal or other things, and they have been opened in the past. But I know that, the Chase Bank is the most active, the most operative account, and they they are in the process of giving access to me and Lydia as per the board resolution. So initially we will have access, and I get frequent reports. So initially we will look at the accounts, but gradually we will phase out, we will close out the accounts, and we will consolidate into one or two, whatever may be the most appropriate.
Thank you.
Sasha for the stack.
Okay, Sasha, I'm going to take the... I'd just like to ask a question myself, and then I'll recognize you, Sasha. Sam, I was listening to a committee meeting from December of last year, an audit committee member meeting. I believe you were not on board yet. And Lydia Brazon stated that the auditor had a process by which Pacifica could upload all of the required data for the audit prior to the auditor starting, so that we would not incur extra costs, and they would wait until we had given them 100% of what they had asked for. Now, I asked the auditor at our last open during our last open session a couple of days ago why they had started the audit prior to receiving 100% of the data that they had requested. And he said that he started at the request of the national office, and I believe he said that both that individuals from the national office had told them to go ahead and start prior to receiving 100%, and as a result of that, the $70,000 estimate for the 2014 audit increased. So I would like to know if you can help us understand why the national office asked the auditors to start the audit prior to having 100% of the information that they had requested.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So you are correct that there's a process. The auditors want the documents to be uploaded to their website. And it would not be correct to say that, say, 100% should be, because no organization is ready 100%, because there would be a lot of ad hoc requests and a lot of, say, issues that will be open during the audit that, say, we have to respond. We made a very reasoned judgment that, say, we were about 70-75% complete. And then only we had asked the auditors to start the audit, and the auditors agreed that, say, their team will be fully engaged. And we kept them fully occupied. They did not, say, leave the audit for any day except for later, say, later time period. So I don't fully agree with this assessment. That was a factor that contributed to an increased cost. The cost escalation is actually coming in from other sources as well. Definitely, the budgeted, the estimated cost, $70,000, was on a low side, because if you look at the past costs, like say for fiscal year 13 and fiscal year 12, the actual expenditures have been over 100,000. So I cannot imagine that, say, how with the cost, with the inflation factor kind of factored in, how can it be lower than the past years? Now, having said that, there were, say, a few inefficiencies on our part also, because we are lacking resources very, very badly. Three stations don't have business managers. But it is also very important that, say, we start the audit process and don't wait, because otherwise perhaps we had been waiting until maybe late February or March to get going, and that would have been very difficult, because we are also under very tight deadlines to complete the fiscal year 14 audit and fiscal year 15 audit as well, and to apply for the CPB funding. So right now I feel a little more satisfied that at least now fiscal year 14 audit is almost getting done and we can proceed to fiscal year 15 audit. But getting back to the same point that the cost considerations, that is not, say, contributing to the escalated cost. Say there are inefficiencies or cost factors all around, which kind of contributed to this.
Okay, now I've got a follow-up question.
Janet,
no,
Janet, stack.
Okay, Janet, you're on the stack.
Thank you.
But I've got another question, and that is that in past meetings, I listened to the audio archive, Sam, and I heard you say that the 2014, the cost of the 2014 audit might actually be more than $150,000. Now, two nights ago, the auditor told us that he believed it would come in under $100,000. So I'm wondering if you have any insights into that discrepancy.
Yeah, so actually it is not a discrepancy. Let me clarify my statement. I said
Sam, who is interrupting? Go ahead, Sam.
Okay, so when I mentioned that I said the total cost, $150,000 about the estimate, it included the tax services also. So when the, say last year, I can give the breakdown for fiscal year 13, it was about close to $123,000 in the audit services and about $23,000 in the tax services and about $8,000 in miscellaneous other services. So the total bill had come out to be more than, say, $150,000. And that was the same estimate, that criteria that I was using to estimate for the fiscal year 14.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, for fiscal year 12 also, we had paid more than $136,000. So I had no reason to believe that, say, the estimated cost will be less than $150,000 or so, looking into the historical trends.
Can you clarify, please, are there two different costs that you're tracking? Is one the cost for the audit and another cost for additional services? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we can call it, say, the tax services or additional services, but it's kind of a full package deal because we have engaged the same firm for filing our Form 990. So when I was referring to the $150,000, basically I was including the combined cost.
Can you also tell us whether there are any services that are being provided by the auditor that would have been provided by our business managers and financial office employees had are they providing services that we should have been providing ourselves?
No, not at this time, actually, because there's two kinds of services that they provide. One is the audit service, which is the big ticket item.
Right.
The second is the tax services.
Right.
Which include, so we do all the preparation for the Form 990. That is the main form that we have to fill out and file. And it's quite an involved job. But they make sure that, say, it's professionally made and then, say, it complies with all the IRS rules. So that's a very highly technical job, and that generally is done by certified public accountants.
Okay. Now, I believe I have Nancy and Sasha for the
Janet.
Stack. Is that correct? Janet, I'm sorry. So, let's just one at a time here. Who's on the stack?
Sasha. I believe I was next.
And then Janet. And then Janet.
Sasha and then Janet. Sasha, you have the...
Nancy, please.
Pardon me, who is this?
Nancy from KPFT.
Okay, so I have a stack now. We'll hear from Sasha, and then Janet, and then Nancy from KPFT. Sasha, please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Sam. I'm Sasha Futrin from KPFA.
Hi.
And as I understood it, you said that at this point you have 100% of of whatever questions and information the auditor needs in the auditor's hands. Is that correct, or did I misunderstand?
No, that is not a correct statement.
Okay.
I would never say 100%, actually, because 100% means that the auditor is done. So I will not put a percent here. I will say the majority of the information is with them.
Okay. How much do you think is left, and when do you think they will be getting it? Can you do something about characterizing, you know, what stations you're waiting for things from, et cetera?
Yeah, so mostly, I will say that there's very little left from the stations. It is mostly at the board level, at the national office level, because the big picture items that I mentioned, the three most thorny issues that we have to resolve, they have to be resolved at the national office level and at the board level.
I see. So you're not looking for anything from stations. It's probably Democracy Now!, the Transistor Tower, things we can't talk about right
now. There's very little, actually. There are still some open issues that say that the stations have not supplied information. The request was made, but still there are some open questions. But I would say that the percentage will be, like, say, maybe 1% or 2%.
When do you think that the auditor will actually have what's needed, and you might characterize that in terms of from the station level, and if there are things that need to be done by the PNB, I know the question mark is huge, the rage of time is huge as to when you might get those, but if you could sort of give us some understanding of that.
So let me answer the simple question first, the easy question. Most of the routine kind of questions that we are expecting from the stations, that should be answered very soon. In the next couple of weeks, that should be over. But the thorny issues, like, say, the ones that I mentioned, that I cannot put a time frame. I will be talking to the National Board tomorrow night. And then I will put some options before them, actually, how to proceed on those matters. And then I will have, and then everybody realizes the importance and the urgency. But then after that, whatever decisions are made, then we should be able to estimate a time frame. But my goal is that if we can wrap up the audit, by the end of April, that will be ideal.
Okay, thank you very much.
And Janet is next on the staff. Thank you, Sasha. Go ahead, Janet.
Yes, okay, so first I want to follow up on some of Sasha's questions, and then I have separate. Assuming that these big ticket items will take some time and everything else would be complete, would the auditor continue to be paid during the period that the big ticket items have not been completed yet?
Yeah, so the auditor will get paid because, the number of procedures that they have to do. They will sit down with the management and go over their observations, their comments, the internal control assessment. Then they will be conducting interviews with the management and with the station managers. So there's a number of procedures that they will follow through, or they will have to complete before complete. So those definitely will have to be paid for.
Okay, but, well, I'm assuming that then there wouldn't be a gap between that work that you just described and the big ticket items. I'm just wondering whether there might be a period of time where there wouldn't be anything that the auditor could do, and then would we continue to pay the auditor? In any case,
actually, if I can clarify that, it'll be a two-way process because whenever we provide any information, they have an obligation to verify that information and then to ask questions. So there will be some time spent by them, and definitely we will be liable for the cost.
Okay, and then my a new line of questioning, or back to what I think Myla was asking about getting the auditor getting data from us prior to their starting the audit. And you had said that for the fiscal year 14 audit, something like, well, you said most of the information had already been updated. So doing that is updated prior to the auditor starting. Doing that was a way to save money on the auditor, and it's my understanding that that prior data update did not take place in fiscal year 12 or fiscal year 13. And if not, then how can you compare the cost of those two audits to this, to the 14 audit?
So I'm not really clear about the question, but let me try to explain. Theoretically, it may be theoretically okay to say that, say, 80 or 90% of the information should be complete before we start the audit, but generally it does not happen because there are a lot of additional requests that, say, are being made during the audit, and that we have to prepare on an ad hoc basis. When we were complete to the extent of about 70 to 75%, the auditors made an assessment that said this will be sufficient so that the teams can be fully engaged and there will be no gaps. When the time came that there would be a gap, then we will request that they remove the team so that they are not billed to our assignment. So we were very clear. But at the same time, the audit process has to start before they can give us the testing samples and before we can put pull together the information for them. So it's a kind of a catch-22 that if we don't start the process, we don't know what data we have to provide to them. So I think this was very necessary, and this was not contributing to the additional cost because we did not find people sitting idle. The cost factor is coming in from other sources. That was the cost escalation. Armanino is a very expensive audit firm, so I will not kind of minimize that impact. And the other thing is that, we also lack resources. So definitely that was a big strain on our people to pull the information and to provide that to the auditors.
Right, but actually my question, I don't, all of what you described, providing or once the most of the audit material is provided, then the auditor will ask for additional information, et cetera, and that also happened for fiscal year 12 and fiscal year 13, so I'm wondering how, the benefit of having produced data prior to the auditor starting, wouldn't that have, that needs to be factored into the cost, and it would result in a lower cost than in those other years.
Actually, I'm a little surprised that if I look at the audit cost for the fiscal year 13, the audit cost was about 123,000 for fiscal year 12. The audit cost was 111,000. So if I'm hearing that right, if the auditors are saying that that audit cost will come in at 100,000, and also including the inflation factor, then probably we did a very good job in that case.
Okay, this is Grace Aaron for the STAC.
Okay, Nancy. Grace, you'll be Nancy's from KPFT is next, and then Grace, you'll follow Nancy.
Okay, that's good.
Janet, are you done for now?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Janet. If you have more questions, you can get back on the stack. And now I'm going to recognize Nancy from KPFT.
Thank you, Sam. I'm having trouble understanding you. Just sometimes, just a few times. could you make a little space between your words? And where I could not understand, you were talking about a few inefficiencies. Three stations do not have, and I could not understand. What was it?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for clarifying me. Let me slow down. Sometimes if I speak fast, the echo may cause some disturbance. So I was saying some inefficiencies, and three stations don't have business managers. BAI, PFW, and KPFK don't have business managers, so it was very difficult to pull together the information for these stations. BAI and PFW accounting is done at Houston office, and that's a big bottleneck. So I'm looking at that, and how can I resolve that issue? Basically, that will be my concern going forward.
Okay.
Does that clarify my earlier statement?
Yes.
Okay.
Nancy, do you have any additional questions?
Yes. Maybe later on or when you have time. I'd like you to give the audit committee the list of things which you feel from which stations were lacking. And we are, and the reason why I'm asking is because I'm not the only one. The audit committee would like to cut down on repeated mistakes that cause the audit to start late. That's why. That's all. I'm finished.
Sam, would you like to respond to that now? Or?
Yeah, I can respond to that briefly because when I'm looking at the 2015, I am noticing that, say, the accounts are deficient in many respects. First of all, at the national office, we did not have a good team. So I have replaced two people, and I have hired skilled accountants in their places. So I'm keeping my headcount still the same, but now I have more skills where people can attend to the complexity of the job. It's highly complex, and unless until national office is fully equipped, it cannot really attend to the auditor's request in a timely manner. So my second concern is that there's not adequate level of staffing at the station's level. So I'm looking into that. I just briefly mentioned that, because three stations don't have the business managers, so my challenge is how to get the books completed. Like you said, that we cannot submit to the audit unless until it is about maybe 80% to 90% complete. That puts a great burden on us. That we have to first make sure that the accounts, all the deficiencies are removed before we upload the documents to their website. So I'm preparing a very comprehensive checklist, and that I will be sending out to the stations starting next week, so that we have a good handle on the fiscal year 2015 books. And that's my immediate challenge. At the same time, I'm looking how we can upgrade the skills, or how we can have the right people or the enough resources at the station so that they can meet our demands. Because please also remember that while they are completing the 2015 books, they are also required to keep the 2016 books current. So it's a monumental job for them, because there's hardly any time from the current books. So on top of that, if they are requesting 2015 books and information, you can estimate the challenges that the business managers are facing, including the national office. So I just wanted to give a brief glimpse on these issues so that people can have a better understanding.
Thank you, Sam. And now I'd like to recognize Grace Aaron. Grace, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you for all the information so far, Sam. This is Grace Aaron from K
KPFK. I'm also a director on the national board. You mentioned that you expect approximately $23,000 in tax services over and above the audit costs themselves, adding, as Grant said, a $100,000 estimate at the outside for the 2014 audit plus $23,000. Your original estimate was $150,000. What did you expect that other $27,000 to pay for? Or have you revised your estimate for the 2014 audit expense?
I had no information prior to, the committee meeting until, about 2 days back. Then I think the auditor mentioned that, the audit fee will come out to be about $100,000. So I'll be very happy to revise that estimate. But, again, if I can say that the historical trends have not been in that direction. But
okay.
Any dollars that we can save, I'll be very happy.
Well, thank you. My next question is, when do you think that the 2015 audit can begin, and what recommendations do you have for the 2015 audit?
Yeah, so the first, issue will be for 2015 audit is completing the books and making sure that, when we present it to the auditors, they are not deficient in many respects. What I have learned from my experience with fiscal year 14 audit, that there were a number of deficiencies that could have been removed before we submitted to the audit firm. And this time I'm trying to make sure that at least that part is over so that we can minimize both the cost and the time. So my second recommendation is that definitely we are lacking in resources at the stations. It is really not possible for one person there in Houston to do the accounting for three stations and also to provide the support that is required for the audit. So I'm looking at the situation very carefully, and then I will be making some decisions how to restructure this so that we can handle the request in a timely way. Now, I will not be able to give you an update right now because I have just started the process of evaluating where we are with respect to 2015 books. And I will be sending out a checklist, and I will be talking to the station managers how much time the business managers can afford to spare. And then I will make an assessment, and then I will be able to provide you, a fairly good estimate, a timeline within which the books should be complete, and we should be able to submit to the audit. But I may make a quick point that before that happens, we also have to clear the outstanding dues. And that can be anywhere, because we are discussing the audit fee. Even if it is $100,000, or it could be $150,000, anything in between, those dues have to be.
Excuse me, Sam. Point of personal privilege. I just really couldn't understand that last. If you could just go back and restate what the last thing that you said.
So I was trying to make a quick point. That said, before we can proceed to fiscal year 15 audit, we also have to clear the audit dues. Whatever it may be on the lower side or on the higher side, we have to pay those bills. And right now we are tight on cash, so we have to figure out actually how we pay the bills, because the auditors have said that they cannot proceed to fiscal year 15 audit till the dues are cleared.
Okay, thank you. I have another question. Is there a mechanism at the national office to request extensions of the CPB so that it might be possible to get in our CPB request for funding by the final June deadline? Will extensions be at?
Yeah, so we've already requested the extension until 4/15, that is April 15th. and we are entitled to a 30-day extension. So that will take us to about middle of May. Beyond that, there is no extension. There will be penalties. Say there will be a proportionate reduction in the CPV money that we are entitled to.
Thank you. That's very, very encouraging, and I'm very glad that you have improved the staffing at the national office. As far as that goes, I have another question regarding that. If specific staff members at stations, for instance, are failing to complete tasks that fall within their job descriptions, have these failures been written up for that person or those persons' personnel files? For example, if there's no business manager at a station and it is clearly the responsibility of the general manager to hire one, has the failure to do so been written up for the GM's personnel file? Also, does Pacifica have an HR consultant who can help resolve any staff issues that may be impeding the audit and any underlying staff problems related to poor accounting practices that result in audit delays and other financial reporting delays?
So let me take up the second question first, actually, because that is very important. We don't have an HR consultant here at the national office. And that's we are badly missing because there are a number of HR issues actually that we have to handle, and we are not fully equipped. Like say, I have specialty in accounting, but I say I have to deal with HR matters. So that is definitely something that we can make use of. Regarding the first point that you mentioned, that say whether the general managers have been written up at the stations. The problem is that the stations can't afford a full-time business manager. So, for instance, BAI and PFW, they are seriously, having a serious cash shortfall. PFW is somehow getting by with a kind of a part-time business manager who takes care of some very immediate needs, like sending wire transfers, and some making some kind of a bank reconciliation or something of that kind, which is very, very minimal. And that's why it's very hard to get information from these stations. So this is the practical dilemma that we are facing. It will not be appropriate for me to say that the general managers should be written up because, they don't have the money. And the accounting, the limited accounting that is being done on their behalf from Houston is not proving to be adequate. So it's a serious challenge that we are having.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nancy Sorter.
I'm going to ask some questions now, followed by Nancy Sorter. Did you say you want to be on the stack?
Oh, I just had a clarification on that issue about business managers.
I'm sorry, you said what about hiring business managers?
Well, I wanted to ask a question or info.
Okay, why don't you
on that?
Wait, Nancy, hold on. I'll go ahead and recognize you, and then I'll put myself on the stack after you. So please proceed.
Okay, I just wanted to follow up on that. It's been our understanding at WPFW that there's a freeze on hiring, and extending the hours for a business manager, which is why we would love to, from what I understand, we would love to increase the hours of a business manager, but we can't do it, as Sam was alluding to. And also I heard that, you know, there's some kind of a hiring freeze going on as well.
So you're right, there's a hiring freeze. That is across the Pacifica organization, and we have to take approval before we hire any person. But apart from that, it is also true that, PFW is going through a very serious cash shortfall, and that I will be discussing that, in detail with the National Board. So that is another very serious limitation that they cannot afford to increase hours.
Thank you.
Hi, Sam. This is Myla again, and I have some follow-up questions.
Sure.
I'd like to know, I thought that I had heard you say in previous meetings of the Pacifica National Board and other committees that you had approved of KPFK hiring a business manager, and that I think it was back in January that you seemed to indicate that I am from the KPFK listening area. And I thought that I had heard you say back in January that you had approved the hire of a business manager for KPFK. Can you explain to us why we do not yet have a business manager at KPFK?
Yeah, so you're right. That's why I had approved the hiring of the business manager because we looked at the budget and the KPFK can afford the business manager. And there's a business necessity for that too, and that was approved by Lydia also. Somehow it is stuck in the process of completing the job posting. So today itself, on the leadership call, I had asked Leslie to follow up with Lydia and to post the job, do the job posting, say very quickly, because we need a business manager, say right away.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, I have another follow-up.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned something about how we can't begin you've talked to the auditors and they can't begin 2015 until 2014 is complete. And I understand, I believe that also the 990 has to be filed before that can occur. Hold on one second. Let me get I'm sorry, there's a phone ringing in the background. Have you been in discussion with Armenino about the 2015 audit? Because it's my understanding that it's the role of the audit committee to first recommend an auditor to management. I may be wrong, but can you help us understand or know your understanding of the process?
Yeah, so we had I did not have very extensive discussion on this topic, but in the informal conversations, Grant had mentioned that, say, they will have to review whether they will accept being our auditors for fiscal year 15 because they had some issues in getting paid for fiscal year 13 and fiscal year 14, I mean, which is current. So they have some concerns about that, and also they had raised some concerns that say, there was a delay in getting the information that they had requested for prior years. So it's still kind of a question at this time, but we plan to discuss with them at a correct time when probably we are almost done with the fiscal year 14 audit.
Janet, could I just comment on that?
Well, I have additional questions, but go ahead, Janet, and then I'll continue.
Yeah. It's my understanding that last year's audit committee approved the auditor for the fiscal year 15. I mean, that has already been, is that correct, Sam? That it would continue with the same?
I'm not aware of that, but given our situation, it will be more efficient if we continue the same audit firm because we have some challenges in explaining our accounting process, our internal controls, and about some high-level items. And a new audit firm actually will be a little bit more of a difficulty. So I would suggest that we continue with the same firm, although typically, I have not seen the audit cost to be so high with a comparable size organization. So that would be kind of a balance that we may have to strike, but maybe for fiscal year 16.
Okay. And
is Grace. I have a point of information.
Okay. Grace, and then I
and
will...
Grace,
go right ahead.
Okay. Fred Blair is streaming this call. I believe he's on the line, so he could answer whether the audit committee actually approved the auditor for the 2015 audit.
A clarification, CT, we did not pick an auditor for 2015.
Okay.
That
was
my understanding as well. Hello.
Who was that? Who was that that said we didn't
Nancy from KPFT.
Nancy of KPFT.
Okay, thank you.
We did not.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
Nancy. Thank you, Grace. And now I have another follow-up question, Sam. This is Myla again. Can you tell me how you are addressing the problems of cash flow and long-term sustainability? And do you think that they're beyond repair?
So that's a very good question, actually. I don't know how far I can go on this on an open streaming meeting, but that's a serious challenge that we are facing. And I will be discussing, say, the options. Right now, the PFW and the BI, they definitely have to come up with some plan so that they can meet the cash flow. The other stations are also not doing very well, I would say. They are okay, that they are able to meet their current obligations. But they're also struggling between the, a little after the fund drive is over because the cash kind of runs out. Before the fund drive starts, they're already kind of hurting for cash. So there are a number of options and number of things that we need to look into. And I would encourage actually everybody who's interested in the Pacifica network to come up with ideas and suggestions so that how can we expand our revenue base. Right now, I think it's the revenue that is mostly lacking, and there's a listener fatigue with the traditional source of revenue, that is the listener support. So that is not proving to be adequate. Now, having said that, the CBB funding also is a big hole, and that could not be filled, say, with any other means. So it's a very, very comprehensive review that is required. And the reason why I'm...
Just a moment. There's somebody who needs to mute their phone, please. Please mute your phones. There's a lot of very loud interference and background.
Running a printer or something.
Would you mute, please? Mute your phones, please. I think that we've solved our problem. And Sam, would you please proceed?
Yes, thank you. So I was saying that we need a comprehensive review of the revenue stream that we have. I would say the existing business model that we have, and we have to see how it is working or it is not working, and going forward, what we can do about it. Now, I can say this with confidence, actually, because I have a business background apart from accounting, and I see that that's a burning issue. So I will be discussing with the various committees. I have already been discussing, actually, with the leadership team and with the finance committee. And I will be, raising this issue with the national board that the cutting cost actually will not be sufficient. We have to grow and we have to expand our revenue base to sustain the operations or to grow any further. So that would be something that definitely will be more beneficial for the long-term, sustainability of the organization.
Okay, thank you. Now I have another question, which you have brought up in the past, you've brought up the issues of potential for fraud. And I'd like to know whether you've been able to address that satisfactorily or whether you still have concerns about segregation of duties and potential for fraud with all the various bank accounts and people not having do we have adequate internal auditing procedures in place?
Yeah, so it's an ongoing challenge. I will not say that this issue has been addressed because it's a lack of resources that we have, segregation of duties, or robust internal control policies. Those are not in force, or those have not been implemented. So I am trying to find my way by asking for various kind of reports and making sure that there's a cross reconciliation, so that the possibility of fraud is reduced or eliminated, but it does not substitute for robust internal controls. So that's a challenge that we have, and that's probably an ongoing exercise.
Would you say that you have sufficient internal controls in the national office? Do you have a sufficient segregation of duties on the national level?
I will not say that, actually, because we are also struggling with the resources issue, because we have hired two new people, and it has been very difficult to kind of balance the workload because we have to train new people and distribute the workload. And that sometimes is not possible because there's only one person who's trained at the job. So there is not adequate segregation of duties at this time. I'm looking at that very carefully. I am trying to remove the person from overlapping duties where the possibility of fraud may increase. So I will say that to a large extent, we are doing a much better job as compared to stations. But still, there is a possibility. But still, there is room for improvement.
And thank you so much. And can you tell us, is KPFK? I mean, not KPFK, but KPFA. Reporting all of the financial data necessary to the national office?
We get all the financial data because everything is funneled through the Great Plains. So we produce the financial statements. So we have access to all their financial information.
Oh, okay. And is there anyone else who has any kind of open session questions for our CFO? Anyone else for the stack?
I spoke before, but I have an additional question.
Okay. Frank Lefevre, you have the floor.
Right. I recall, Sam, several weeks ago when you visited BAI, that the cash flow, really the urgent short-term cash flow was of urgent concern, and I haven't forgotten that. I have posted at MediaFire, where anybody can download them, some sustainability plans which are partially long-term, but they include some very short-term things. And I know you said that you really didn't have really the power to request or ordain, but I'm just wondering if there are ways that you could, perhaps giving a cost-benefit kind of estimate, encourage the implementation of some of the simpler ones. Like one very simple one, for example, which we're often told we can't afford, that's a direct mailing, not only to our membership but to others. And the very simple-minded kind of scheme is not a huge direct mailing, all at once, but a partial mailing that we could afford briefly, and using the returns from that mailing to fund another installment of mailing and gradually reach a very wide audience that way. I'm wondering if there's a way you could address the cost risk benefits of that and the short-term versus long-term gains in a way that will encourage the general manager to implement that.
Yeah, I have not looked at that specific proposal, but definitely I've talked to the leadership team there, and I'm asked to explore all possible options without incurring much cost. And like you said, the mailing could be very beneficial, and it'll pay for itself. So definitely, I don't see any problem with that. And I think the leadership team was actively looking into that. So I don't see any holdup. The cost benefit probably analysis may not be necessary, because the benefits are far exceeding the cost. So long as the cost is controlled, and if we also take volunteer help, I think that's a good idea.
I'm sorry. What was that last thing?
As long as we take volunteer help, like say there are volunteers who can help in the process.
Wait, hold on. Who's interrupting?
Sorry, it was Nancy. I didn't understand, and I.
Uh-huh. Nancy, if you don't understand something, would you please say point of personal privilege so that you can be recognized? Because it's very difficult for all of us when you talk over one another. So, Sam, if you wouldn't mind, mind just going back over what you just said, because there was too much crosstalk for us to understand you clearly. Thank you.
So I think it's a good idea. I have been in discussions almost frequently with the leadership team there, and I am putting together some templates that they will be providing to me some constant feedback about the initiatives that they are taking. And so I will also check with them about the mailing initiative that Frank was talking about. And it appears to be a good idea, and that should be embraced by the team. But I would let the team take the leadership and the initiative to do this, because I don't know fully the constraints that they may be having. But I think that's a good idea.
Sam, my experience in the past is that the general manager has said, yes, that's a good idea, to several different ideas that people have advanced. But we don't see any implementation because there's, other things get in the way and the idea gets kind of sidetracked. So a little informal push might be helpful.
If I can come to the defense of the local management team there, they are very short of staff, and they are depending very heavily on the volunteer help. That may be the constraint there. So if you can have a kind of a open discussion with the team there, I think you may be happy to get the answers.
Well, we do have volunteers who have stepped in to deal with the long overdue mailing of premiums. Perhaps they can get involved in that direct mail project too.
Sasha for the stack.
And Grace for the stack also.
Okay, so Frank, if you're done, I have questions followed by Sasha and Grace. Sam, I think you said something really encouraging, and I want to make sure that I heard you right. Did you say that we seem to be actually catching up with things, and that we may indeed be able to complete our 2015 audit in a timely manner and be able to file it with that there's a chance that we'll be able to file it by our hard deadline of June 30th, 2016 with the California Attorney General? That's my first question.
So I'm not clear. I think I did not say that we will be able to file in the proper time, because fiscal year 15 audit, we cannot get it started even very soon. So right now I don't know what the time that we can start at the earliest. So the filing deadlines, there may be many. The filing deadline could be for the form 990. Then the other deadline is for the CPB funding, and both will be approaching pretty fast. Like for the form 990, it is August, and for CBB, I think the extension goes only until the middle of May. So I'm very cognizant of these deadlines, and I'm trying to work my best actually how we can meet those. But definitely the audit will not be performed in such a short period.
And I have a follow-up on, Frank, what the line of questioning that Frank LaFever started. I listened to, I believe it was the January meeting of the PNB, during which our interim executive director introduced you. And during that meeting, she said that she had already worked on a funding letter that she was going to be sending out on a national level, that she was purchasing lists from the corporate, from PBS and from some other entity that works with listener-sponsored media or viewer-sponsored media. And PBS, and I think that she said that she had already had the letters ready to go and that they would be going out soon. And as soon as she had gotten, as soon as Pacifica had received some money, she had planned an incremental campaign to send out more and more letters. Can you tell us whether there was any success, any income that was derived from that funding effort?
Yeah, so those letters have been mailed out, say about maybe 15 days back or so, but so far we have not received any success. The envelopes or the mailing has not come back with any positive results so far.
Thank you. Okay, Sasha, I'm going to recognize you now.
Yes. So I just a quick follow-up on what Frank LaFever had asked about in terms of mailings, and I have to say it just sounds like stations are very short-staffed and have very few resources, and one shouldn't, including the national office, and one shouldn't be jumping on people for not doing their jobs because they're doing multiple jobs. But I did want to ask about whether you think email and texting would be a good alternative to even spending some costs initially on direct mail. It seems like more and more people are doing that. I mean, I don't know if the Bernie Sanders campaign mailing out one letter hard mail. Everything comes, you know, through email.
Yeah, so again, I would say that that's a very good suggestion. And I think we had discussed when I was visiting New York, we had discussed that option. And I think the idea was that we can use some interns who can do this job. So I will follow up with them, actually, if that was taken into account and if that was implemented.
Thank you.
Okay, I believe Grace is next on the stack. Take it away, Grace. Thank you, Sasha.
Yeah, I am just wondering, if we miss the CPB deadline, as a board member, it's really painful to possibly be throwing away anywhere between $700,000 and $1 million in revenue for Pacifica as a whole. Is there any way that the audit process can be and financial reporting process can be accelerated so that we might have the hope of getting that funding? Otherwise, it's just a continued shortfall that we can ill afford.
So we don't lose the complete funding in case we miss a deadline. Say I'm what I'm expecting actually that the extensions will extend only until the middle of May. Beyond that, there will be consequences. So if we get late, we have a penalty of a proportionate reduction in the CPB funding. So I'm hoping that we can complete the process. But then it is kind of getting humanly impossible to accelerate the process without additional resources. These stations are really hurting. I mean, I have been, I have visited New York and I have visited Washington, D.C., and I have seen that how stretched they are for resources. I had already mentioned about the Houston, that one person is kind of performing the accounting for three stations. National office is stretched to its limits because we had to complete the 2014 audit, now 2015 books, and we have to stay current with the 2016 accounts because we provide the financial information to the National Finance Committee and the National Board almost on a monthly basis. So I just want to put things in perspective. Having said that, it's my best of intention and best, say, my goal, my personal goal, that we can we have to make every effort to complete this 2015 audit, say, as earliest as possible.
Okay.
William,
is there any Nancy Sorden?
I have just a little follow up. Has anyone thought of having a special fund drive appeal?
Grace, I'm sorry. It's just that there was some crosstalk. So, Nancy, I'm putting you on the stack after Grace. And, Grace, go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting. Thank you.
Okay. Sam, I was wondering if there's been any discussion of having a direct appeal to the listeners, a fund drive appeal, specifically to hire temporary staff to accelerate the completion of the 2015 audit and any other financial reporting that's backlogged or that needs to be done to meet special deadlines, because we need to improve our Charity Navigator score, and it would help us greatly to fundraise in the future. With a poor credit rating and a poor Charity Navigator score, it really detracts from our ability to generate income. So it might be very worthwhile to directly explain this to the listeners and make a special appeal, and you might be able to talk to the managers about this and get money to come in so that we can get these deadlines met.
Yeah, so you're right. Actually, that's a very good suggestion. And I am, being alone, I can't really expand myself into so many different areas. So I'm taking help from other managers and, from other station managers and the National Finance Committee also to get involved and to expand, the fundraising efforts. I truly understand the urgency and the urgency of completing the fiscal year 15 audit. And that's the reason why actually I started already the process of completing the fiscal year 15 books. Today, only on the leadership call, I had expressed this concern to the station managers that we have to kind of spare time, for this job, no matter what. So I will be looking into some temporary help, and I will initiate this process as soon as I get some idea about the scope of the work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, William Hairwagon also asked for the stack.
Okay, so was that before William, I believe, did you say, Sasha, were you on the stack? I'm sorry.
Jordan.
Point of order, Janet.
Yes, Janet. What's your point of order? I'm just trying to get a clear understanding of who's on the stack now.
Right, but usually somebody who hasn't spoken yet goes before other people who have already gone. William has.
Yes, got it. So, but now I'd
like
Nancy to know.
Nancy Sorden was on the stack.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so is there anyone besides Nancy and William on the stack presently? I'd like to ask another question as well. And was there anyone other than Nancy and William who asked to be on the stack, or is there anyone else who would like to be on the stack? No. Okay. Can I just, for clarification, before I recognize William, who hasn't spoken before, you've mentioned the leadership team several times. Can you just clarify for all of us who you're talking about when you refer to the leadership team?
Yeah, so these are the general managers from the station, the development director, and the programming director.
Thank you for that. And now, William, since you haven't already asked questions, I'm going to recognize you.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you, Mr. Agarwal. William Volkswagen, BAI. You're welcome. in reaction to the question about not making the June 30th, 2016 deadline for a couple of things, I'm not sure I heard. Did you try to explain that it's only 365th of the amount per day that we're late? So, like, if we're 1 month late, you know, you lose 3365ths. Did you explain that?
Yeah, so that is correct. Actually, I looked at the guidelines from the CPB, and this is their kind of interpretation that if you are late beyond the extended time, then there's a proportionate reduction in the funding that is available. So beyond that, I think they have not specified. And if we show enough reason, actually enough justification, they can also waive this penalty. But I don't know whether that would say that would qualify or not. Beyond that, it's difficult for me to comment because I think we may need some expert help or something of that kind.
Thank you. Can I ask one other question?
Yes, please.
Thank you. On earlier in the discussion, you had used the phrase when talking about amounts for 2014 audit. You used the phrase 2014 is current, and that went by me. I didn't quite get it. Does that mean that we've paid the auditor already?
No, I don't think that I say current because there's outstanding dues, and the number could be anywhere between 60,000-70,000 to 100,000 because we have not received the billing statements from them for February and March. And I understand that substantial services were provided in these months, but unless until we have a complete billing, I cannot say exactly what is the amount outstanding at this time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, William. We'll move on to Nancy Sorden.
Hi, Sam. Nancy from WPFW.
Hi, Nancy.
I had two questions. One was back on the CPB funding reduction, but still we would get some of it. Would that also apply to previous years that we have not yet received it? So for 2014, would we have any chance of receiving any CPB funding from that?
My understanding is that probably that is lost now. We cannot recover any amounts for the past years.
I see. Okay. The other question I had was on the billing from the auditor. I understand the way the auditor explained it was that there was like a set amount that they billed us for, and that included so much, you know, that every time they did something, their hourly rate and the number of hours they provided would be subtracted from that set amount. And once that set amount was exhausted, then they would start billing further. And so I was wondering if that set amount has been exhausted yet.
So I think the process does not work that way because if I look at the engagement letter, the estimate was 70,000. But because it comes with so many qualifications, that say if we did not provide the information or if the expected work, the volume of work increased, that will increase the cost. So I don't know really actually where to draw a line. And I definitely cannot question the audit firm actually how narrow or how wide the scope should be. So definitely I'm looking for help from the audit committee to put a little bit of a pressure on the cost control on the audit firm. But I don't think that's that kind of a set amount and to draw down on that works in practice.
So if we invite the auditor to come and speak to us, that's an additional cost?
I think that will be the case. They will be, say, the hour will be charged to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Janet?
Yes, Janet, after me, I'll put you on the stack. I just want to ask you, Sam, it's my understanding that basically the auditors estimate that the audit will total a certain amount, and within that estimate, they include meeting with the audit committee. It's required by law for the audit committee to meet with the auditors. And so if, in fact, there are cost overruns, those cost overruns include additional meetings with the auditors, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't important for the committee to meet its obligation to keep on track with the audit. Am I correct?
So if I can answer your question, that the that's a legitimate right that the audit committee has to meet with the auditors, and there is definitely some cost built into the estimates that the auditors have provided to us. I am not sure, say, how the estimate was based, because the historical trends do not suggest. So whether we call it, say, I mean, I can take the blame, that's whether it may be our inefficiencies or it may be the cost escalation on their part. But still, somehow, I don't get it. I say, how can we have the cost at $70,000 when for the past 2 years we have paid more than $100,000? So still, I'm not able to reconcile that.
Well, 2 points, if you don't mind. One is that according to the Nonprofit Integrity Act of California, it isn't a right of the audit committee, but a responsibility. The according to the code, the law, it says that the audit committee must confer with the auditor to satisfy committee members that the financial affairs of the nonprofit organization are in order. It isn't our right to do that. That's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to review the audit and decide whether or not to accept it. It's, you know, these are responsibilities, not rights. So I think we need to be clear about that language.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
At any rate, go ahead. Sam,
yeah, you're very right, actually. It's a responsibility. And the other thing is that the audit committee is the only independent body where the auditors can go and talk in confidence, because if there are some management issues and if they have to report some kind of issues with the management, then audit committee is the place that they would go to. So so you have an important job. I mean, I don't disagree at all.
Okay, and I'm sorry, who is next?
Oh, Nancy Sorden. I don't know.
Janet.
Hold on. Stop. I'm hearing Nancy Sorden, and I'm hearing Janet. Can you tell me who was first or who would like to speak first?
I was point of personal privilege. I think that's what that is. I'm not sure.
And who is this?
Nancy Sorden.
Okay, Nancy, what's your point of personal privilege?
I don't know if that's the correct or if it's a point of clarification, but I just want you to know on the record that I agree with you that it is our responsibility. That is not my issue. My issue is with controlling costs.
Okay.
Stop.
Let me just tell you that a point of personal privilege has more to do with whether or not you can hear or something like that, rather than to...
So would this be a clarification?
Okay.
Would this be a clarification then?
Okay. Go. Anyway. I'm not sure, but go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify that I don't disagree with you. I agree with you 100%. That's what our responsibilities are. My issue is with cost, and I think the two issues are getting conflated. And I just want to make sure that they're known as two separate costs. Just because I'm concerned about costs does not mean I'm trying to block our responsibilities. Those are very important.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think people have been conflating those things.
Thank you. I believe Sasha is next on the staff.
Janet.
Right? Oh, Janet.
Excuse
I'm sorry.
Me.
I'm terribly sorry. Janet, and then who said excuse me? Was that someone other than Janet?
That was Janet.
Okay. Janet, you've got the floor.
Okay, so I echo what Nancy just said about the cost containment versus what this committee needs to do. There needs to be some attention to cost containment. But my question has to do with, maybe I misunderstood you, Sam, when you somebody asked if about previous year's CPB grant money, and I thought I heard you say that we probably lost that money, or it didn't sound like you were sure. And what I would like, if you're not sure, I would like you to explore that to see maybe it's not totally lost. Maybe there is some possibility of getting some of it.
Yeah, so I definitely will look into that. But when I make a strict interpretation of the penalties, then it appears to me that, say, we have lost that money. Like I said, that, say, we may need some expert help if there may be waiver requirements or anything. But in any case, we have to complete the audit first before we take that step.
This is Grace. I have a quick question or comment.
Grace, you have the floor.
Okay, following up on what William Heerwagen said, it may be true that the penalty is 365th of the total grant. However, as I recall, the CPB is granted a certain set amount of money by the federal government on a yearly basis. And when that money is exhausted, that's it. They don't grant anymore. So the more we delay, the more we risk going to the CPB and the CPB having no money left in their account. So the more we get on track, the more likely we are to get CPB funding again. And now that I'm not absolutely positive about that. It could be researched, but I'm pretty sure about it. And the next thing is I strongly suggest that we go into closed session because it's already 8 minutes after 7 Pacific time. So if we want to have any time for confidential information, I think we should do that now.
Wonderful, Grace. I was just about to make that same
William with for the stack.
So William, do you have a question that is not of a confidential nature that is appropriate for the open session?
I do.
Okay, then you have the floor.
Thank you. It's more of a comment. People are saying, I think, Milo, you might have just quoted the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants or maybe some other organization about our that we must confer.
I was quoting the California government website.
And I'd like to finish my statement, please. You're saying that we should confer with the auditors. Confer. And other people have been writing about this, too, that aren't even on the committee, writing to the committee. Confer can be done in writing or over the phone. It doesn't have to be a meeting. There is no duty to speak in person on the phone, costing the foundation money with the auditors. That can be done in multiple ways. We're not required to talk to them on an open stream call. Thank you.
Thank you, William. I'd like to propose, as Grace also proposed, that we now move to a closed session for questions that cannot be discussed in public. So are there any objections from committee members to moving to a closed session? Hearing none. Fred, can you turn off the stream and so that we can go into closed session?
Yes. I'm stopping it now.